This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Finding Your Bliss with host Judy Liebrack, heard every Saturday at 1 p.m. on Zoomer Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Finding Your Bliss, the show that helps you find and follow your bliss. I'm Judy Liebrack, and I'm always fascinated when people write about joy and help other people find more joy in their lives. So I'm really delighted to be joined today by joy coach, keynote speaker, author, founder of Joy to the World Coaching, and the author of this beautiful book here, which we are going to be giving away in a wonderful giveaway to a lucky listener. And it's called Messy Joy by Robin Shear. And I'd love to just tell you a little bit more about Robin before we meet her. So Robin is an international keynote speaker, a trainer, a best-selling author, and a joy coach. She helps depleted givers, we can all relate to that, feel good again so they can give and lead from a place of fullness. She's spoken for TEDx Detroit, and it's a wonderful TEDx talk. And I encourage you all to have a listen to that. Just go to YouTube and type in Robin Shear and TEDx talk, and you'll see it. It's powerful stuff. She's also spoken for Meeting Professionals International, Professional Convention Management Association, the National Head Start Association, and so much more. In the months to come, Robin will speak in Seattle, deliver a keynote on Jekyll Island. What a cool name. And speak at a nonprofit conference in South Africa. Wow. She's been interviewed a couple of times in Time Magazine, as well as the Wall Street Journal and Psychology Today. And as just mentioned, her number one book, The Messy Joy, How Joy Can Begin Before Your Difficulties End, helps readers know that they can find joy in their lives despite their circumstances. She is a certified life coach from the International Coaching Federation, known as the ICF. And Robin has served as a registered dietitian, youth pastor, and activity director for seniors with dementia. She's the president-elect of the National Speakers Association in Michigan. Robin Shear, welcome to Finding Your Bliss. So great to have you here.
Hi, Judy. First of all, thank you for having an awesome show and inviting me on. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited. I think there's some like-mindedness happening here. I know that right away without even, of course, I've done a lot of research, but I just know that instantly. So Robin, you started your career, and I thought this was interesting, serving. And it's so interesting when I say the word service, because when we serve others in whatever way we serve, we can't help but be happier and more fulfilled. No matter what we're doing, whether we're serving food or whether we're serving, you know, as a singer, as a journalist, as a writer, and as the many things that you did before you sort of found how it all came together. So you help kids with eating disorders. Then you volunteered for 8 years as a youth director at your church, and you became the staff youth director. And that led to you serving senior citizens, taking them on mystery trips. And you had comedians meeting and performing for them. But your calling, and I say that word very specifically because calling, it's sort of synonymous with joy and with the word I use, bliss. And it's your calling. It's why you were put on this planet, what your purpose is. And your calling for joy was always at the root, the common denominator. Can you tell us what made you finally realize that joy was really at the center of all of this? And that moment when it became crystal clear that helping people find their joy was your calling.
Well, thank you for the question. First of all, the way that you put all that together, I can tell you did your research. But honestly, this might surprise you, but the thing that made it clear to me that it had always been about joy was actually feeling a bit like a failure, because I had experienced all of those different professions and loved them. I really felt each time, this is what I was born to do. You know, this is what I was created for. I'm going to retire from this profession. But then it would change and something new would happen. And I got to a point when I realized I had always been coaching in one way or another, unofficially. Yes. And I thought, I'm going to learn about coaching and I'm going to do that as a career. And when it was time to decide what exactly my coaching would be about, that's when I began to feel like a failure, Judy. This is so funny, but I look back on all of that and it seems so disjointed. It seems like none of it was complete. You know, I would start something and then head off in another direction. And I wondered if it had meaning. And it was when I looked at what, if anything, was common amongst that. And that's when I realized, wow, it really had been about seeing the difference, like the actual impact that joy had in some very difficult populations. Mm-hmm. People who were really struggling just to put one foot in front of the other. And, you know, I started to realize, wow, there's a whole world that thinks they've got to get life perfect before they can have joy. Mm-hmm. And as I looked back and I saw so many twisted and disjointed groups of people who still had joy anyway, that's when I began to realize I was called to take that message beyond those populations and out to the world at large.
That's amazing. And you also say that there's a really big difference between happiness and joy. And I feel that way about bliss and happiness. But how would you describe it for you, the difference between happiness and joy?
Oh, such a good question. Whenever I travel to speak, that's the question that I ask my audience right from the start, because we do have such different understandings of those things. But so often we use those terms interchangeably and really need to take a look at that, because so often we dive into different activities that, you know, fill us up and make us feel good. And then when that circumstance goes away, for example, we're at a family reunion and we're just loving being with these people. And then we all go home and we don't feel so great anymore. And if that is our cycle, you know, we end up and down, and it's exhausting. And that is happiness. You know, something happened. There's no coincidence that happening is that root that they both share. And when something happened that triggered that feeling, you know, the natural response was to just enjoy that. But then there is that period of letdown afterward. Yeah. And our culture tells us to go after happiness. There's a continual push to be happier. And if that is where we remain, we're only going to find ourselves disappointed on a regular basis. And we'll feel like we're doing it wrong. You know, culture tells me to be happy. I'm trying to be happy. And there must be something wrong with me. Everyone on TV looks so happy.
Happy. Everyone on Instagram, right? Everyone on Instagram and TikTok is so happy. Yeah.
Exactly.
What am I doing?
That message is off. We need to take a look at the definition. And so by definition, then joy is not related to the circumstances. Joy is something that we can feel on a deep level, regardless of what's happening in the world. And it's an inner effervescence for life itself. It doesn't mean that we're always jumping, you know, on beds and, you know, feeling like, you know, we could just take the whole world on. Sometimes joy is a very peaceful feeling. Mm-hmm. It can be a very quiet feeling of contentment, just as much as, you know, that euphoria that we might experience as well. But the difference is it's not related to the circumstances. It's something we can cultivate. It's something we can focus on and have on a longer term basis, so that in between those periods of happiness, when things come and go, we've got that joy to keep us on more of an even keel.
Yes. How do you help people tap into joy? I'm also a life coach, and I'm called the Bliss Coach, and I do a whole thing around purpose, but I have certain ways to help people get there, because a lot of people will say, well, I don't know how to find it. I don't know how to find my bliss. And my job is really to let people know they do know. Mm-hmm. It's just, how do we find it and how do we tap into it and bring it to life? Mm-hmm. So how do you help people tap into their innate joy that I think all of us have as human beings?
The most important thing that I can do is just really listen. People come to us for different reasons, and it's really about what brought them there and what they've experienced up until that point. Why do they define happiness the way that they define it? You know, when is the last time they felt joy? Have they ever truly felt it? And if they did, you know, where did they feel it in their body? Mm-hmm. You know, did it like give them butterflies in their stomach, or did it, you know, pick up their heart rate or bring this enveloping sense of peace? Once we identify that and we can figure out what put it there, we can cultivate it and do that more often. But the sad truth, Judy, and you know this, but so often we haven't really felt it. You know, we haven't really identified it as such. Mm-hmm. And that's where it has to begin.
Or maybe we did when we were a little person, a little girl, a little boy, and we felt it. And then for whatever reason, life happens and you just sort of mask it a little and it comes out. You know, what is it? They say that babies laugh, I don't know, 700 times a day and adults, not as much.
Exactly. I think that I've heard 400 times for the average like 8-year-old and 4 times a day for the average 40-year-old. I can't find any backup on that, but I've looked for that research.
That sounds close. No, that sounds very close.
Yeah, we get the idea.
As I mentioned off the top, you did an incredibly moving and really well put together TED Talk. And in it, you referred to an event when you were a young girl. You were a cheerleader, which so fits. You do seem like a cheerleader. And you're with your friends, and all of a sudden a bunch of boys you knew showed up. And when everyone dispersed, you were left alone, and something terrible happened to you. And it took you 21 years to get over a deeply traumatic event that happened. And what led to you getting over it was the forgiveness, forgiving your attackers, which led you to discovering joy. Can you take us back to that day in whatever way you wish? And if you don't want to, that's okay. But what happened that was so traumatic that it took you 2 decades to really find joy again? And how did you ever get to the place of forgiveness, forgiving these people who hurt you?
We don't have enough time for all of that, but I'll go on the high level and then the talk might help fill in some of the gaps. But essentially, as a cheerleader, we used to stay after school after we'd have practice and then we would hang out. And it was a pattern. And our friends knew our pattern and decided to come up and be around us in an isolated part of the building. And I was attacked by this group of boys. And my friends got away. And I got away too. And this is an important point that I always want to make. Because if someone like me who got away without physical harm had 21 years of night terrors from one event, how much more then do people hurt who have even greater trauma? We cannot minimize the impact that trauma has long term on people. And I think that the reason that, you know, I struggled for so long was because I boxed it up because there wasn't a repercussion for their behavior.
And that's terrible.
I had to see these boys every single day for the remainder of my days in that school system. And we had like 120 kids in our graduating class. So you can imagine I saw them several times a day every day. So there was a lot of internalizing from my own protection, you know, from my own survival. I used to eat my lunch, you know, in the bathroom. I was afraid to face people. I didn't want to break down and be that girl. I didn't want anybody to talk about it. I wanted it to not happen. And the best way for it to be forgotten was just not to talk about it at all. And so I didn't get help. There was no therapy. There was no conversation. It was done and boxed up.
Did you tell anyone, Robin? Did you tell anyone, a parent, a family member?
Thankfully, my mom was there for me. I told her that night. I don't know how she understood it because I was just sobbing, but she got the words out. She immediately called the authorities. You know, she took all the action in the world on a dime. She stopped everything and did it. But that's where the story changed. And so, you know, I guess too, Judy, at that time, I don't know that counseling was as accepted or encouraged as it is now. And you're a coach, so you know that, you know, coaching and counseling are great partners, but they're very different from each other. And when someone has a real hurt that they need to heal, they need a therapist. They need a counselor.
Absolutely. I always say therapy takes you from minus 10 to zero and coaching takes you from zero to plus 10, right?
Perfect.
Coaching sort of assumes that you're creative, resourceful, and whole. But when you've had a deep psychological hurt, you need to go to talk to someone. So you didn't. But you say 21 years. At what point in the 21 years did you start to go, wait a minute, I've got to shift this somehow?
Yeah, I was exhausted because those 21 years were 21 years of screaming night terrors. And anybody who has experienced one can appreciate how little rest you get, even if you go back to sleep after having one. And so I was exhausted and realized, okay, I know exactly why I'm having these night terrors and it's not working. What I'm doing, which was nothing, wasn't working. And I sought a trauma therapist, and that was key. And I do believe that, you know, therapy is good as a starting point, but when a trauma is experienced, there's a particular kind of therapy that's available.
Yes.
And it is so effective. It helped me greatly. It's EMDR, which I share in the TED Talk.
Yes.
And it stands for eye movement, desensitization, and reprocessing therapy. Yes. It was revolutionary. And that's what set me free. It took about a year. It wasn't an overnight process.
I was going to ask you, how long was the, mm-hmm. was the process? Mm-hmm. And did you start to see a bit of a tipping point? Like you felt lighter and you felt mm-hmm. airier and just mm-hmm. like the weight of the world was off of your shoulders.
Absolutely.
Finally.
Yep. And so that was a really important component. And I thought that I was home free. And it wasn't until actually quite a bit later, I was laying in bed, not really even thinking about what had happened. And all of a sudden it became so clear to me that I needed to forgive those boys. And I was, and I'm getting teary because obviously there's a lot attached to this, but I wanted to, and nobody was making me, nobody was telling me, but it was right. It was so right. And so, yeah, in a moment of prayer after all that time, yes. you know, just to ask God to forgive them, whether they ever knew that I had that moment with God or not was irrelevant. It was as much for me as it was for anybody. Mm-hmm. And I did feel lighter. I truly did feel like I could fly. I remember I called sent a text to my mom and sister and told them, like, oh my gosh, I'm done. I've let this go. I've forgiven these boys. And my mom said, that's great. Just don't go up on the roof, because she knows I like to go hang out up there. So yeah, it was phenomenal. The joy that I felt. I didn't know what I was missing until I had that level of joy. That unforgiveness, that hurt that I was hanging on to was really blocking me from experiencing the fullness of joy. So,
and it's interesting with forgiveness. You don't always do it with the person. You can just do it mm-hmm. internally, that forgiveness mm-hmm. with God, with yourself, with a journal. Mm-hmm. It's a private thing often. It's not actually going to that person and saying, I forgive you. But did any of them ever apologize for what happened?
No.
No,
not yet.
And yet, I think that's the point, though, is that it's okay because mm-hmm. you did it on your own, which is even better. You're not dependent upon anyone. You did it with God. You did it yourself.
Yep.
And good for you for doing it. And not just for doing it for yourself, but taking this unbridled joy that finally came to you mm-hmm. and sharing it.
I'm sharing
it. And helping
it.
Other people.
I'm giving it away with everything I've got.
It's beautiful.
Until that path changes again. And we'll see when that is. But
mm-hmm. you know, in the talk, it's so interesting because it is compelling. Like I was crying in the middle of the TED Talk, and I'm sure I'm one of many, many that had that reaction. And I was very emotionally invested and just feeling it very deeply. And then what I love that you did is that you ended not on a sad note, but you ended on the happiest note with this wonderful cheerleading moment where you did your, which is how it all started. You told everyone uh-huh. that you are a cheerleader, and then you ended. What a beautiful tie-in to the whole talk of doing the cheerleading, and you got everybody up on their feet and they were doing the cheerleading, and it left everybody in an exultant place, which is so amazing because they did go down to a pretty dark place, but you lifted everybody up again, which just was so, I don't know, just brave and beautiful. And I really, again, I'm going to say, I said this off the top for those who are just tuning in. I really encourage you all to tune in to this TEDx talk, Robin Shear. And she's written a beautiful book, Messy Joy, but tune in to her TEDx talk because it's just incredible. You even suffered from chronic pain. You had to have 26 treatments after a ski trip. Mm-hmm. And joy became challenging at that time. And I think this is such an important point that mm-hmm. just because we find it, it can leave us. You know, I think even a yogi mm-hmm. or a priest or anybody who is mm-hmm. in a state of bliss or joy doesn't okay. have it 24/7. Mm-hmm. And you really went through a tough time health-wise. So how were you able to deal with stuff like that? And just to make it a note about, it can come to you, the joy, but it can leave you when you have a health condition or an emotional thing happens or anything happens. Mm-hmm. How do you hold on to the joy?
Such a good question. And I should back up. So, you know, those two incidents that you were referring to, those were actually two separate things that were taking place at the same time. Oh. So the 26 treatments that I had for chronic pain, that yes. was for plantar fasciitis in both of my feet.
Oh boy.
And there were nights that I had to crawl into bed. The pain was so bad. And at the same time, I was recovering from a ski trip related head injury. and having the nightmares and all the things.
All of it.
Right? All the while, you know, people were assuming, well, of course she's joyful. She doesn't have any problems. And it became really clear to me that I had contributed to that false belief that life is perfect or can be perfect. And that's when joy can enter in, when the exact opposite is true. Nobody
has
it perfect all the time. And I needed to start to share that, but also share what I was learning along the way. And that's where the book, that's where Messy Joy really came from, was that desire to reach those other folks who feel like they're hurting all alone and don't know what to do with it and want that joy. They want to feel good, but the weight of the world is on their shoulders and they can't dig out. And how I found my joy, to answer your question, asked myself a lot of very direct questions.
Yes.
What did I actually believe about joy? What had I seen to be true? What did I understand falsely? What did I need to develop? It was a continual period of asking questions. And that's why Messy Joy has all the questions that it has for the reader. I want the reader to get lost in the story, but it's no good if they don't see their own story in this book. They need to answer some of those questions and consider, well, gosh, with my life being in this realm of imperfection, how then can I have joy? How do I apply this to my own life? So I think there are over 200 self-application questions. Those were the types of questions I asked myself. And that's where I learned. And I did find that even if my head injury never healed, I could have joy. In fact, there was a point when I thought that it wasn't going to heal. And that's when I really had to come to grips with the fact that even when the diagnosis doesn't change, it's a choice. It really, truly is. And I get a little bristly sometimes. This might surprise people, but I get a little bristly when people just blow off the term choose joy, without really recognizing what that looks like, what the steps are, how hard that is. But it's possible, and I'm not knocking it, but it can't just be a cliche that we throw around all the time without any actual steps. And that's
and work and hard work, you know. And I think that there is, I mean, as you say, there's all of these wonderful, wonderful questions in the book. People can really get it's almost a workbook. It's a book, but it's also a workbook. It's a workbook journal. And it was so great. So before I get back to the book and all the questions in the book, I just want to ask you about, first of all, how did you feel after the TED Talk when you did it, when you left the red dot, the red circle on stage and you walked off? Did you feel like so relieved? Were you nervous when you did it?
Well, the backstory is I'm a professional speaker, so that's my livelihood. And I had 3 speaking engagements all lined up in this tiny little period of 2 weeks.
Wow.
And that's when I was notified that there was an opening at TEDx Detroit with 2 weeks to go.
Yay. And,
you know, if you read the book, you can see I am a person of prayer. I know that I can't do it alone. And so I immediately turned to prayer. And that's when that story that I shared came up in my mind. And I didn't want to share that story at all because, you know, when you get an opportunity like that, you don't know who's going to watch it and what they might say. And it was scary enough to put that in the book. But again and again, that story kept coming up and I knew that I needed to tell it. And so I thought, okay, if I've got a few minutes on this stage, I want to use them for the most possible good for others. And so here's this crazy story, but what they don't show you on the video, I was so excited to get to do that. I mean, I've wanted to do that for so long, Judy.
Yes.
I spit. So I'm backstage waiting for them to call my name and you see the purple dress in the video. But what you don't see before that is I had this really cute belt on. It was this rhinestone, real blingy belt. And when they called my name, I kind of inhaled like, yay. And I took off skipping and the belt broke right then and there. It fell right off on the stage.
And never so fails, right?
Jumped on that dot with everything I had.
Yeah.
But no, I felt like I could fly.
it appeared that you could fly. I also, I brought this up. It was so great. Congratulations again on that. I love, Robin, that your coaching philosophy focuses on helping depleted givers rediscover joy in their lives. And that's such an evocative phrase, a depleted giver. I think many of us are, from Mother Teresa on to, I don't know if she was depleted, but She certainly was a giver. She had her moments, I'm sure. What exactly is a depleted giver?
Don't answer that just yet. We're going to go on a short commercial break. More when we come back. Back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by Create, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
Create is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. Create is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, Create is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. Create has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? Create Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We're back. This is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740. And just before the break, Robin, I asked you about depleted givers. What exactly is a depleted giver?
Well, it's a person who loves and finds joy in giving to others and helping, and does that to such a degree that they find that they have very little to give from. You know, they might not even care about giving at some point. Mm-hmm. I've been there. And yeah. That's why I've chosen those people to be my own, because I know what it's like. And, mm-hmm. you know, I've watched some of your shows before, and I know you've talked about how you can't give from an empty cup, right? You
that's
have
right.
to have something.
That's right.
And joy is the thing that I would love for people to have more of, so that when they give, it comes from this abundance instead of this place of obligation.
Yes.
If you've been on the receiving end of somebody, you know, helping you because they had to.
Yes, begrudgingly, it doesn't feel good. No, it's got to
exactly.
be from this beautiful place. And you have to also get used to, because I have this sometimes, giving. And sometimes that can be taken advantage of.
Yeah.
And right. And you have to be okay with that. But I think, do you have to be okay with that? Or what is the way to be okay with that when you're giving and giving, and then maybe someone doesn't respond in kind and takes advantage of your kindness and your generosity? Mm-hmm. Is that something you just have to deal with and say, well, at least I'm giving and that feels good, and let that go? Like, how do you put those two things together? Because sometimes we go, wait a minute. Right.
Such a good question. No one has ever asked me that before. So congrats on a wonderful, beautiful question. And I think the answer probably is going to be, it's going to depend on the individual, their circumstances, what effect that giving truly has on them. Because if it fills you up, mm-hmm. then it's a good thing to do. But if it exhausts you and takes you to a place of not wanting to give anymore, there's a problem. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And giving to self is just as important as giving to others. And
true.
Those of us that, you know, are in caring professions, that give for a living, or that don't, you know, parents don't get paid to do all the giving that they do, right?
True.
They give nonstop. If giving brings joy to you, but then it takes you to a place of burnout and not wanting to answer the phone because God forbid somebody would ask you to do something, there's a problem. And that giving needs to come back to you. You're only giving to others and not giving to yourself, and checking in and asking, what do I need? Mm-hmm. Maybe I just need 5 minutes or 5 days of complete aloneness.
Five
right
hours,
now.
Anything.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll have more to give if I give to me too, right?
Yeah. So true. It's so true. But it's hard. It's so much easier to give, right, than
it is
to give to ourselves. But it's something you have to work on. So you coach online, which is so great. That's a wonderful thing that happened actually after COVID, is that really you're able to coach more people all over the world because you're not defined by having to coach in person. So it's great. Can you tell us more about what categorizes your own very special and unique brand of coaching, of joy coaching?
Wow, that's a great question too. I mean, my coaching is different than any other person's coaching who focuses on bliss or happiness or joy, just because I'm an individual and I'm going to have a different perspective than you're going to have. And that's what makes it beautiful.
Of course.
And I can't say that I've got a huge list of techniques that makes it special, or
right.
a patented system.
The feeling, right? It's yeah. just in here. It's in here.
It is. It's really yeah. about the feeling. It's really about listening and being present with the person and being willing to ask the questions that nobody else is asking.
Yes.
And then backing out and allowing a person just to share from the heart without being interrupted or judged or anything negative, but just the freedom of expression, because you know how it is when a person shares without fear. Oh, they have so much worth hearing. It's yeah. just like a treasure that yeah. comes out of them, and they realize how capable they are of solving their own problem, but generally they don't feel safe in sharing. There's joy in that.
Absolutely. So you have created 17 questions that help people connect and find more joy. I'm not going to ask yeah. you to say all 17, but what are some of your favorites that help people connect to their own joy?
I can't believe you found that. Yes, I do have 17 questions that I have used in conversation. So these are all tested and just things I've made up on the spot. And this was one of the things that Time Magazine interviewed me about, because connection yes. and joy are so intertwined. And we're so quick to just, you know, ask people how they are and not really listen to the answer.
Yes.
But if you were to ask somebody, you know, what's the best thing that happened to you today? It can uncover something of value that can then be, you know, picked apart gently just a little bit more until a person has this moment all on their own. So yes. one day I was at the grocery store and I was talking to my cashier. She was an older lady. And I asked her that question, what's the best thing that happened to you last week? And she thought about it and she said, gosh, nobody's ever asked me that before. And she had to really think on it. And then she said, you know, it's not really a big deal, but I got to have dinner with my son last week. And I said, well, that is a big deal. Good for you. I can see that did something for you. Your whole face kind of changed. And she yeah. said, well, the reason for it is when my son was growing up, he didn't want anything to do with me. And, you know, I didn't even know if he was going to stay living in our house until he graduated. Mm. We didn't get along at all. And we were just surviving. And after he moved out and became an adult, we began to realize we actually like each other. And now he asks me every week if we can have a standing dinner date.
Aww.
And so here we are standing in like aisle six, tears just rolling down because
beautiful.
Of a question. About a question. There was connection there, and I'll never forget her. I can tell you her name. I know so many details about her, and
wow.
I look for her every time I go in there. Had I asked her, how are you? I probably wouldn't remember her. She wouldn't have stood out.
That's so funny. You know, it's so interesting you're saying this, because I'm remembering at this wonderful place that made pancakes and waffles, and it was actually called the Golden Griddle. And my son was making a very big life career decision. And there was this woman there that was working as a waitress named Shannon. Shannon, if you're listening, you're an angel. I know that. And she reached out to my son and talked to him in a way that I think she was like an angel of sorts.
Wow.
And she really helped him. And he always remembers this person. And even though he lives overseas and he's not here, he's coming soon, and I can't wait. I'm going to be like your friend at the grocery store. So happy to be with him.
Such a good example.
And so excited. But we've often looked for her, and she's obviously moved on somewhere. But I just know she's out there somewhere, and she just was this angel that came along at the right time. So you have to be open. You have to keep your eyes open and your heart open. And I think these things become really possible. So you asked me a wonderful question before this show, Robin, that brought me joy. And you'll understand when I tell you what my bliss is. But
okay,
the question you asked was, ask your team. So we call it our Finding Your Bliss team. You said staff, but we always say team. What brings them joy?
Okay.
And it brought me so much joy, because like Oprah, I love to give gifts. And this to me is what a gift, right? Because it really got people thinking. And it was so beautiful. And I asked everyone, and I'm going to share on the radio what they all said. So thank you for the question. So Siobhan said, spending time with my family. And we love Siobhan. She's been with our show since the very beginning, and since 5 years. And she's a beautiful person, really a beautiful person, and producer, and wonderful. And Olivia, who is actually on this call as a producer, who is doing this beautiful session, also a beautiful person, said creating and telling stories. And she does beautiful films and documentaries, and that's what she does. And she's a wonderful person. So that brings her joy. Wow. And Meg, who is the supervising producer, said, knitting gifts for people she loves, deep conversations with friends, long road trips, finding myself in new situations where I have no idea how to navigate, and having the freedom to live safely and creatively. And she's a beautiful actor and singer. And she was on Road to Avonlea for 7 years on the CBC, playing a beautiful role. And people all over the world still love that show.
Wow.
And yeah, that's Meg. And Lauren, our magazine editor, who I hope you will speak to, because we're going to hopefully put a lovely excerpt from your beautiful book, Messy Joy, on our findingyourbliss.com website. Lauren said, and she's just an amazing person, what brings me joy is spending time in nature, filling my cup by spending time with family and friends, and watching movies with my boyfriend. And she's just a beautiful soul. And Lauren, we love you. And then there's Juliana, who's our audio engineer, and she's a beautiful singer. And she said simply one word, music. And Sierra, who's kind of famous on TikTok. She does a lot of our videos, but she's a bit of a TikTok star and very amazing at what she does. And she said, what brings me joy is creativity and community. And I said that I find joy in helping other people find and follow their bliss. I don't want to cry, but this made me so happy. So I'm so grateful for that question. And I think your clients are so lucky that you ask questions like that.
Oh, and thank you so much. Thank you for honoring us with those answers. Because what just happened was I felt the joy that you felt by sharing what they feel. And that's the best part, is just how contagious this actually is. So can't we just talk about it and share it more often? It's really that simple. Yeah. And we overcomplicate it. But look what just happened. That was the most beautiful example. Thank you so much for that, Judy.
Thank you so much for that. And I wanted to open this up to our listeners and ask people, invite our listeners to write to us and email us about what brings them joy. What brings you joy? Email us at fyb@findingyourbliss.com. And it can just be a couple of words or even a page. We'd love to hear from you. And obviously, check out Messy Joy, How Joy Can Begin Before Your Difficulties End by Robin Shear. And we're going to tell you all of the great ways that you can get in touch with Robin at the end of this show. But maybe you're inspired to tell us what brings you joy. We'd love to hear from you.
I hope so.
So we are doing a giveaway courtesy of Robin Shear, and we're going to be giving away her awesome book, Messy Joy. And all you have to do is go to my Instagram page at The Bliss Minute for all the contest details. And then, of course, you're also going to go to Robin Shear's Instagram page, and a lucky listener will have a chance to win a copy of this beautiful book. So that's just, we're going to remind you about that again at the end of the show. But of course, we wanted to ask that to you now. Another great thing that you suggest in the book, Robin, is you suggest journaling for 30 days in the Messy Joy Journal. What are some typical questions that you would suggest here? Because sometimes people get stuck. Journal about what? They don't know where to start. Are there any prompts that you say are great to get going?
Yeah, we hear about, you know, the idea of gratitude journals a lot. And I think that those are so helpful. And I also don't think we're doing what we think we're doing. You know, we've heard that one so much that we start to tune that out. But are we actually writing down anything about what, you know, filled us up that day? Something that we noticed that we were thankful for? Because doing that is proven to change just the way that we view the day and the next day and the next day.
Yes.
And you begin to notice the positives when you are intentionally focusing on them.
Yes.
So I can't encourage that enough. And I think a lot of people could find a lot of value in something even as simple as that. But you know what? On the flip side of that, some people benefit from journaling just all of the things that are in their mind that keep them up at night.
Yes.
You know, the to-do list that don't turn off when we try to sleep, and all of the projects. And sometimes just journaling that out allows us to have a little separation from it.
Yes.
And it, you know, has its own place and we have our own place. So that would be a healthy thing to journal. But I also like to encourage people just to journal their favorite memories. You know, think about your favorite Christmas or your favorite Hanukkah or your, you know, the vacation that you'll never forget or what you wanted to be when you grew up. What did you dream about? Or who did you idolize? Well, who was your favorite teacher? Who did you just really want to spend more time with? Or do you know somebody who has a joyful life? You know, what are the qualities in their life that you'd like to pull over into your own? But you can see this is just going to be an endless thing once you get going and you learn about yourself, right? Mm-hmm. You start learning what matters to you, which is all back into that self-care thing. It's all back into knowing who we are, what matters to us, and doing something about
it. Yes.
Journaling will open up all kinds of ideas and it flows your creativity. You know, you end up problem solving when you aren't even trying to.
Yes.
So it's a wonderful practice.
So great. You're reminding me a bit of Julia Cameron, who we had on this show 5 years ago, I think in episode 5 or something. And she talked about just that exercise of the morning pages. And just as you said, not necessarily the happiest things to start, just getting all those monkeys off your back onto the page. And all of a sudden, little miracles start to show up on the page, little gems. And you go, wow, you know, by clearing away all the clutter, the beautiful stuff can emerge. And it's funny because,
you know, if I may add to that, it helps with overwhelm. Because what happens is suddenly you start realizing you've got some dang good ideas. And we move from a place of feeling helpless to feeling like we have some potential solutions. And it was all in there all along. That's really empowering stuff. So I can't encourage
that. So true. And just back to the gratitude, Oprah says, like, when she wakes up every morning, the first thing she does, even if she might be feeling a little tired, a little sore, she'll say, wait, what am I grateful for? Start her day. And it's a great way to end your day and to start your day. But just let that be the first thing, because it's a game changer, right? It's amazing. Mm-hmm. You also suggest creating a list of 10 unexpected joys. And if you're not sure what brings you joy, this list will get you started. What are some of those questions on the list to help you get going?
We're going to hear all about that in just a moment. But first, we're going to go on a short commercial break. More with Joy Coach Robin Shear when we come back. Back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by CREATE, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
CREATE is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. CREATE is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, CREATE is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. CREATE has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? CREATE Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about CREATE Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We are back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740, FM 96.7. And just before the break, Robin, I asked you about creating a list of 10 unexpected joys. How do we do that exactly, and what are some of those questions?
Yeah, this is something that I would love to offer to the audience because, you know, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, gosh, I really don't know what brings joy to me. I've never been asked that question before, and I can think of one or two things, but, you know I need more than that. People sometimes want to stop. And as you and I have just discovered, the more we think about it, the more comes up. And so this is a list of 10 things that may or may not have made it onto somebody's page initially. But once they give thought to these, they will either A, become onto their joy list, be added to the list. B, they may not trigger joy, and that's okay because we're independent and individual. But C, they make, like, bring up other ideas, you know, things that, wow, I never would have put that on my joy list. But, you know, now I'm going to spend more time doing that thing because I realize it does something to me. So if anybody wants to see what those are, they're welcome to just go ahead and download that list. It's over at joytotheworldcoaching.com/joylist. And I would love to see what that brings up. People can email me and share what they've learned about themselves as a result of getting that list and giving it real thought.
Right. I want you to say that again at the end of the show so that people really get that. You also did a podcast about how to choose joy for your family, even in trying times. Mm-hmm. Can you share some of the top tips? Because we've all been there, right?
Yeah. It's funny because, again, it keeps going back to that theme, right? No one has a perfect life. It is about messy joy.
Of course.
I mean, choosing joy in trying times, that was a whole article about what it was like when my son found out that he needed to have a kidney removed. And he was very healthy, didn't have symptoms. It came out of the blue. And it was very eye-opening to take this healthy young man in for surgery and then and watch him after surgery. You know, he was recovering, he was hurting, he couldn't laugh without, you know, feeling pain. It was a really scary time.
So hard.
And we chose intentionally to focus on what we were thankful for. You know, the things that bring joy to us are gratitude and family relationships and our faith. And so we were digging into all of those at that time on purpose because it was scary. It wasn't pretty and we didn't want to be there. But we found that it didn't last forever and that there were lots of good things woven into a really difficult experience. And I mean, this one's really, well, it might sound kind of flaky, but one of the things that I really loved about that experience was the hospital was located right next to a really great Thai restaurant that we wouldn't have found otherwise. I mean, let's get into it, right?
I so get what you're saying. I had a similar thing. I know what you're talking about. You're in the worst of times, but then there's something, there's a light somewhere, you know. Yeah.
There is a silver lining. Yeah. And it's about choosing to look for it.
How is he doing?
He's doing very well. Thank you. Great. You would never know. That it happened. He is a 24-year-old marriage and family therapist, married, doing very well.
So we have to have him on the show too sometime.
Yeah, he would probably love that.
That's amazing. That's so amazing. You said that, I love this thought that you had, that how do we address the things that can stop us from having joy?
Yeah.
Because we don't want to look at those things, do we?
No. And sometimes we just let them win. Mm-hmm. And then where are we, right? We're stuck in that place of like nothingness, like emotional flatlining.
Yeah.
And we need to take a look at what is interfering, you know? Is it our schedule? Is it guilt when we want to do something that's good for us or have more fun in life? Is it finance? Because so often what we find is by identifying those things, they are not as significant as we make them out to be. For example, the other day I had a little getaway with my sister and I did something that was spur of the moment because being spontaneous is a huge source of joy for me.
Yes.
So it didn't cost extra time or extra money. And we're both still laughing as we think about it. And you know what it was? This is so uncomplicated. We were going through a traffic circle and she was saying, you know, you need to get off here. And I just kept going around the circle a couple of times and she's screaming, no, but I mean, it's really that easy. But if I were to think, yeah, I don't have the time to be joyful.
Yeah.
Well, I can choose to allow that to block me and
right.
Or I can challenge that with what if, you know, I just do this one little thing that only takes me 30 extra seconds. What impact does it have? But digging into, you know, what it is exactly. And asking yourself, am I okay leaving this where it is? Or do I want to do something about it? Do I want to choose joy? Because if I do, I've got to address these things that are blocking me from having it. So.
I love that you brought up spontaneity because you say, and I even felt in the TED Talk that I don't know if that was a spontaneous, creative idea, impulse to do the cheerleading, you know, the cheerleading routine at the end, because it was so great. And it had that feeling. It had that, like I had that vibe that it was sort of, it just came to you and you said, yeah, I'll keep it in the talk. So
I didn't tell the producers.
So you say that spontaneity may be a missing source of joy in your life.
It
how so? And how can we encourage that spontaneity to flourish the way you did with your sister, the way you did at the end of the talk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, we're so type A so often we just check things off that list and that list becomes our owner. You know, it tells us what to do. And when we bring our inner child back into this, not only bring our inner child out, but invite our inner child back into the conversation, we'll find that play and spontaneity become more and more common and burnout decreases because we're not just slaves to our to-do lists all the time. Mm-hmm. And sometimes just those little blips, spontaneity, are all it takes to just fill us back up with the joy. You know, let's get some joy in the bucket and overflow from a place of fullness. Mm-hmm. But spontaneity is an interesting one. In fact, I have a whole keynote about it because I have so many stories of my own to share that get people thinking. And what's fun is after that keynote, people come up to me and say, well, you should hear about this. And we get it going again. Like when you talk about it, you start really thinking about it and realizing that's been missing for a long time and I can do something about it, but we don't have to overcomplicate it at all. So it can be as simple as going through a Taco Bell drive-through in reverse. You know, just put your car in reverse and go around backward, right? No extra money, no extra time. You're out of there.
Or it can be something that's so embarrassing. I can't believe I'm saying this. But when I was pregnant with my second, with my daughter, I have a son and a daughter and a little grandchild as well, a little sweet 11-month-old grandchild, beautiful boy. But I was pregnant with my daughter, very pregnant. And I went through the McDonald's drive-thru, I'm embarrassed to say. And there I was, and I got a Big Mac and I just was so starving and I ate it. And then I went around and I went back through again and I went to order another one. They said, was everything all right with your Big Mac? And I said, I'm re-. And then they looked down and they went, oh, no. And I sat there and had it all. And I won't even tell you, I kept going.
But, no judgment.
That was a lot of fun. There's a question that we ask every guest at the end of the show. And of course, we're going to ask it to you. What is bliss for Robin Shear?
Well, I hope you are okay with this answer, but from a very personal place, bliss reminds me of my grandparents, who are a very big part of my life. If you read the book, you'll see that that's true. And my grandpa used to say, ignorance is bliss, and your grandma is full of bliss. That's what I think of first.
That's great.
But I do see that bliss and joy are the same. I love how on your website you list out all of the different names for bliss. And I think that that's important, you know?
Yes.
It's neat to see that there's so much goodness in just thinking about it. And yes, it does fill us up when we just stop the madness and allow ourselves to be full again, because then it does overflow and then there's more of it. You know, it just keeps on going.
It's so true. It's like love, right? Love and bliss, I think, are interchangeable. Yeah. When you put love in your heart, it can combat all the not good stuff. And well, you're a person who definitely gets it and you are truly making the world a better place. And I'm so grateful to have spent this wonderful hour with you. Really, it's been an honor to have you here.
Judy, thank you. I knew it would go too fast because I love what you do. And I knew you would do such a beautiful job.
I feel the same way. I want to remind everyone again that thanks, courtesy of Robin Shear, we're doing a giveaway and we're giving away her awesome book, Messy Joy. And all you have to do is go to my Instagram page at the Bliss Minute for all the contest details. And a lucky listener will have the chance to win this beautiful book. What are some ways that people can get a copy of your book and also connect with you on social media and contact you if anybody wants some life coaching? And I'm telling you, if I need some life coaching, you're someone I would go to because I know you. I know you get it on a deep level. So how can people connect with you?
Thank you for asking. My book is available anywhere books are sold. So Messy Joy can be Amazon, Walmart.com, any place like that. And my website is joytotheworldcoaching.com. And I will soon have my book on my website. It's been out for almost 2 years and I haven't put it on there yet. And in terms of getting in touch with me, they could find me on any social media at the same name. Just to keep it easy, it's Joy Coach Robin. So
beautiful.
I love
to
talk to listeners.
I love that. Well, you're amazing to talk to. And I think that your clients are very lucky. And I hope that you'll all get this book because it's great. And what I love is you're not just putting out there that joy is perfect and joy is, you're saying it's messy, it's real and be authentic. And when you're authentic, embrace that. And you wouldn't believe what can emerge and all the great things that can come to you and to those around you. So it's amazing. Each week we spotlight a fabulous person like Robin Shear, who is living their bliss and moreover in service to others and helping other people find their happiness and their joy as well. So if you're an author, artist, yoga, meditation, mindfulness expert, therapist, life coach, or really anyone who has found and is following their bliss, we'd love to hear from you. And as well, what did you love about today's show? Are there any guests or topics you would like us to feature on Finding Your Bliss? Just reach out to us at fyb@findingyourbliss.com. And I'm also on Insight Timer, everyone. That's the number one free meditation app. And all you have to do is search up Judy Liebrecht. And of course, you can always follow us at The Bliss Minute on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook.
I would like to thank our wonderful guest, Robin Shear, for being on the show today. Also, thank you to Mag Ruffman, Siobhan Kylie, Olivia Weatherall, producer Olivia Vigiani, associate producer Eva Shabbatai, audio engineer Juliana Iannuziello, senior editor Lauren Kaminsky, video editor Sierra Brown Rodriguez, audio producer Faz Kazi, and everyone here at Zoomer. And of course, a big thank you to our sponsor, the Create Fertility Center. We're going to close out the show today with a short meditation. I just invite you all to settle back, get into a comfortable position, and just gently close your eyes or keep them open with a softened gaze. Begin by taking in several deep breaths, breathing in fully and exhaling fully. Just breathe in through your nose and breathe out through your nose or mouth, whatever feels more comfortable. And allow your breath to find its own natural rhythm. Bring your full attention to noticing each in-breath as it enters your nose, travels down to your lungs, and causes your diaphragm to expand. And then just notice each out-breath as your diaphragm contracts and the air moves through the lungs, back up through the nose or mouth. And just notice here how each inhale is different from the exhale. You may experience the air as cool as it enters your nose and warm as you exhale. And as you turn more deeply inward, just let go of all the noises around you. If you are distracted by sounds in the room, simply notice them and bring your attention back to your breath. Don't try to control your breath in any way. Just notice your experience in this moment without judgment, paying attention to each inhale and each exhale. If your mind wanders, simply notice it, and then practice letting go of the thought as if it were a gentle leaf just floating down a stream. Then bring your attention back to the breath. Think of your breath as an anchor that you can return to over and over again when you become distracted by thoughts. And it's okay to notice when your mind has wandered, and then just gently bring your awareness back to your breath, watching the gentle rise of your diaphragm on the in-breath. Think of it almost like a balloon expanding. And then notice how it deflates, contracts. Notice it relaxing, letting go on the out-breath. Allow yourself to be completely with your breath as it flows in and out. And when you're ready, just come back to the room, gently open your eyes. If you're not ready to do that yet, you can close them. Then open them again. Wiggle your fingers and toes. Stretch, yawn, and smile. And know that the breath is always with you as a tool to help focus you, align you, and bring you back to the present moment. For everyone here, I'm Judy Liebrack, reminding you all to take one step closer to finding your bliss.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.